when you were talking about being on tour for 9 months, traveling, planes, this, that, such a fuck yes. He doesn't do things normal. The typical way.
I love it. That's hilarious.
And obviously that's not for sharing now. Yeah. So cute. when you talk about...
Yo, she just shaded the fuck out of you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday.
Happy
Welcome
Thursday.
Back to another episode of
Tea Time
with
me, Raven,
and me, Miranda.
Hey.
And today on the podcast, we have someone you most definitely know.
Hell yeah.
That you've most definitely listened
Hell
to.
Yeah.
And what else, babe?
Well, you most definitely probably stole the style. You rocked somewhere with it, and you felt heard and seen. It's a little...
That's real.
And he's wearing a shirt that I honestly think I just want to be this person. Lil Yachty.
Awkward.
Welcome
what up,
to
little boat?
The...
How y'all doing?
To the podcast.
It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to see you here.
Yes, truly.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
I want to start off by saying that we are kindred spirits. We have someone in common. Mm. Kyle Massey.
Oh, how do you know Kyle Massey?
Who doesn't know Kyle Massey?
This is very
true.
On the real, though, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to sound like a loser, but That's So Raven was my favorite show growing up.
Why would you be a loser if you watch my show?
Like, no, I feel like...
Yo,
I feel like people come up to you and just like say that to just kind of like be gay, but like, I really like... Okay, I say gay a lot, and not like in a y'all way, like
okay. in
a,
the
like,
cute way,
and like a like ah, you gay, like,
yeah,
you know, but like
we gotta
so,
find you a new word, friend.
I know, I gotta change it.
We gotta find you a new word.
I got it. My assistant's gay.
That's fair. You got a gay friend.
Yeah.
She.
Oh, there you go.
She.
That is
Maddie?
Her pronoun.
No. Oh no, that's my like executive assistant. My like day to day assistant.
Got it.
But she looks gay.
So how many assistants do you have?
I have two.
You have two.
Yeah.
Yachty.
Everyone thinks she's gay.
Yachty, when she looks gay, does she look like me or does she look like her?
Her.
Oh, okay.
She looks just like you.
She's white?
Yes.
She's a ninja lesbian.
She's not gay. No, my assistant is gay. She has dreads and looks like a...
She looks like a dick. Don't say that.
Is that a bad word? She's a...
He's very honest. It's okay.
Okay. No, she's a,
I'm not offended by anything you're saying.
She is a butch lesbian.
I never heard that word before.
She could be a stud.
You never
heard
butch before?
Stud. She's a stud.
She's a stud. Dick is used like a black person can say nigga, but like a white person can't say it.
Right.
So like you can say it if you're in the community.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's a stud.
There you go. She's a stud.
That makes sense. She's masked.
My DJ's a stud too.
Well, they're
I actually love lesbian women because I love being around women who are like who I don't have to like mm-hmm. like kind of act kind of boyish, you know, like so you like the bro but you the girl but you cis
but you also don't have to worry about getting caught up. They're not
exactly.
gonna fuck you over.
And I just know like it's the relationship is it will never go
that way.
Correct. It's like this the homie. Right. I don't even have to worry about it because, like, you ain't even looking at me.
And
like
they got your back. They're a great third wheel. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Women are so solid
yes.
if they're not trying to, like, fuck you.
No. Okay, I want to go back to the fact.
Same with guys. You know, men can be pretty solid when they're not trying to fuck
that's
you.
That's true.
Just going
to
say.
That's true. If
yeah.
if you can come across one that's not trying to.
Right.
Well,
which is hard.
That's
right.
easy.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
No. Well,
what?
If they're.
Listen,
gay.
When I was in my world, I guess I knew how to pick the guys that didn't want to, and the guys that did want to, I just had fun fucking with their brain.
You don't think they try to, like, mask it as, like they don't?
When they do,
you, like, get close to them as a friend, they show you, like, actually, like, the second you give them a chance of vulnerability, they're like, oh, he cheated? Come cry over here. I was never that guy, by the way. I was never the guy that I never played the friend to get closer.
Oh, that's nice.
Special delivery.
Yeah, nah.
Brownie
nah.
brittle.
Yes. Yes.
Delicious.
Oh, I do not do free promo.
Yeah, don't do
yeah,
that.
Don't.
I want to go back to the fact that you used to watch That's So Raven.
Fuck
oh, yeah.
Just for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you watch That's So Raven?
That's such a good question. I think because you looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're, like, if not the only black show on Disney Channel at the time before Cory in the House. And I just thought. I probably just, I don't have a real reason, probably just spoke to me. Like a black girl you know, and like, you know, it was like rapping on there, and it just was like, it felt like my show, you know, and I enjoyed it also.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
but
fair.
I don't have an actual reason. I think in hindsight, psychologically, it was probably just like, this is a black kid on TV, you know, it felt like a show for a,
And it was a really good show. And it was really funny. It was
funny, and it was great songs, and it was like lessons. But as a kid, you're not thinking about none of that. You're just like...
entertained.
It's my show. Yeah. You know?
When I looked you up when you were a kid, you have so many you have pictures with Luda. You got pictures with everybody.
My dad's a photographer.
And you used to help your dad with his photography. And I think that's when you kind of got the money bug. Because didn't he used to show you the invoices?
Well, it's so funny. Photographers don't make that much money. You know? Because there's so many photographers. Unless you're just like he made... not really. You know, I was like... I was like, actually... seeing how my dad got paid made me be like, oh, I'm gonna get in front of this camera.
That's fair.
Because I can't eat this and talk to y'all. I sound so country. You know what I'm saying?
You can't. I love it. I kind of love it that you're like.
The people at home in the comments, I'm like, oh, why are you eating it?
Because he hungry.
Y'all in sync. Oh, y'all in super sync.
But also, I just want to say really quickly that we were watching videos the other day about brittle because I make brittle.
Okay.
And we are very big foodies.
Okay.
Yes. Big cooks. I make a peanut brittle, a candy brittle, and then a bark, which is more chocolate based. I'm gonna make you some.
That's more peanut butter based, I thought.
That's peanut brittle. No, the bark that I make, I'll do with chocolates and then just nuts or some kind of sweet treat. Fire. But
that's fine. No, it's super. That's one of the many reasons I married her, because she doesn't cook for the way she looks.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, I always said that. Whoever I'll marry, you have to. I'm not even a foodie, but I just think a woman being able to cook is like, because if you want kids and you want a family, like, just, or just like, you don't, I don't know. I've only experienced a woman cooking for me maybe like 3-4 times. But the times that I've experienced it, I was like, whoa, this feeling is like, you can't really pay. It's not the same as like a chef cooking for you.
No,
it's like,
there's, you tasting love when a woman cooks for you.
100%.
But you used to cook.
No, I'm not a cook.
I don't know, because if I asked you for a fish filet Friday, might come through with the 1-2 real quick. So don't
her favorite
knock
thing in
it.
The world.
Don't knock her the fish filet thing. Friday double patty extra cheese. My question to you is, little boat.
My gosh.
Why you give me such little tartar sauce? That shit is delicious. I need
hated
more.
I hated working at McDonald's, man.
Really?
I hated it. But my mom's favorite food is a tartar, is a fish filet.
It's delicious.
I wouldn't know. Is it a real fish?
Yes, yeah. It's cod. It's Alaskan cod. And it's
her favorite thing in the world.
Let me tell you
so
something.
So McDonald's fish filet is Alaskan cod.
Yes.
Frozen.
Tell them the story, babes. I got married to my wife.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the story as she tells you the story. Okay?
You know when they say...
tell them the story, babes. I got married to my wife.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
You know when they say there's always compromise in a relationship?
This is my favorite thing.
There should be compromise in a relationship. And what I gave to her for our marriage.
Here's the situation.
I'm telling the story. I'm going to tell the story. Yeah. Here's what I gave to my wife to show her that I loved her.
Okay.
Was that I would never eat at McDonald's again.
Wow.
Even though... if I'm sad, happy, glad, daytime, nighttime, as long as the fish filet was there, I would get a fish filet meal. And I gave that up for her.
That's awesome.
Thank
so
you.
Here's the thing,
he gets
though.
It.
I know he gets it. And I get it, too. But I didn't get it at the time because McDonald's was never a thing in our relationship. I met Raven in 2015.
Okay.
She never talked about McDonald's. We got back together. She never talked about McDonald's. Mm-hmm. It like wasn't a thing at all. I know it's a huge thing now, but it wasn't at the time.
Okay.
So when she walked in to the apartment on our wedding day and looked at me and was like, I did it. And I was like, what'd you do? She goes, gave up McDonald's. I was like, and? Like, it made no sense to me, the sacrifice. Or similar to the time when she came to me and she goes, I did it. And I was like, what did you do? She goes, DM'd her. I was like, who? She goes, Kim Kardashian. And I was like, okay. date? Nobody asked you to DM her. She's like, well, I'm going to try and get her on the podcast.
I secretly hear her judge me. Yeah. And so I secretly.
But why did you give it up? Why?
So silly.
Because it's like if you get married and your wife is, she never said any of this, but mm-hmm. this is my own verbiage in my head. Some people give up weed when they get into a relationship. Some people give up this or that. Mine was McDonald's.
Wait, did you give it up for the partner?
I gave it up to show my commitment. Say, I'm not going to.
The partner have to be aware of the sacrifice you're making?
Not at all.
No?
Not
okay,
at all.
I guess not.
I had an addiction to McDonald's to a point to where I was almost 250 pounds. Uh-huh. Like sadness, happiness, joy, whatever, didn't matter. Uh-huh. And now, 5 years in, I'm at a place where like I don't have to go to a fast food restaurant to curb my urges. You know what I mean? Like I go because I enjoy it, but not because like I need it.
Yeah.
And McDonald's was the first step. I'm in McDonald's AA.
Okay.
Yeah, like that's how I feel.
I think it's cool that.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
So. Wait, so you did you do it for you or did you do it for her? I want to get a better understanding because like
me too.
Yeah,
I did it for both of us.
But did she say anything about it?
No, she didn't need to know I was doing it for her.
I had no idea. Okay,
but she would say no. This is what she did say, and this is why I love my wife because she's really honest with me.
Okay,
you're inflamed. You're bloated.
Oh,
you. Okay. You have emotional repression. Like, you're not intimate. You're not all this.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I took away.
She was like, it's McDonald's.
Well, yeah, that's the first step to the things that I knew that were my crutch. Like, my dad used to take me to McDonald's and then tell me that I couldn't eat it, even though he would eat it in front of me. Like, McDonald's has a lot of things.
That's dramatic.
Well, I'm writing a book. Okay. has a lot of things. But we're talking about you.
Mm. Are we?
So I want to go back to your working at McDonald's real fast.
Yeah.
So this addict was a very, very big visitor of something you once supplied.
Yeah.
She wants to know all the tricks and tricks.
I didn't supply it.
Like, you supplied that shit to me, bro.
Yeah.
Did you work on the fries?
I did. I worked in the.
Why is it so salty in the shaker? What's in that shaker, bro?
It's just like it's loose. You just turn it over and it's just full of. It's like. The holes are so big in that guy.
Yeah, like God MSG damn. And salt at the same time, right?
Yeah, a little bit
but
of acid.
I like salt. I'm a
it's
salt.
Delicious.
I like crispy, salty fries.
So,
yeah, me too.
Like Checkers.
You have your own frozen pizza company.
I did. Yeah, I did. It was limited.
A limited edition?
Yeah, it was limited time that I did. It's limited time thing I did with Walmart.
Is that because you love pizza so much?
Absolutely.
Or you love that check so much?
Both.
Fair.
Yeah. But pizza first. Pizza's my favorite.
So are you deep dish or are you thin?
I'm deep dish, thin. I don't like cheese in the middle.
Oh, stuffed crust.
Stuffed crust.
That's fair.
I'm a deep dish. I'm a New York slice. I'm all that good stuff.
Do you have a favorite spot?
Upside Pizza in New York City, in Soho. Yes. Mm. I also love Fellini's. And you ever been to Fellini's?
No. Have you been to Lombardi's?
Of course.
Oh, mm-hmm. God, Lombardi's is my
wait, if I'm not mistaken, is Lombardi's in Chicago?
Lombardi's is in New York. There's only two. I think there's only one now. They have the clam pizza.
I thought it was in Chicago. It's not the deep dish upside down pizza with the...
Mm-mm. The original Lombardi's in New York used to have the oldest oven in New York.
Yeah.
Shit was fire. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Artichoke Pizza?
No. I've been to Prince Street Pizza.
That's good too. Yeah. Artichoke Pizza, bruh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Makes me go like this.
I don't. Is it like the fancy kind where they put like a green?
They have a plain cheese, but they do put artichoke.
It's a thick crust, and they have like spinach artichoke dip on top of it.
Yeah, I'm not a.
So what are your toppings?
Just pepperoni.
Cheese. Pepperoni. He's a classic eater.
Yeah.
Prince Street has those really. Like
pepperoni cups.
Pepperoni, mm-hmm.
I also like vodka sauce. I like the vodka sauce. Oh, you like food. Yeah.
We talk about food a lot.
I feel it.
We talk about food a lot. We make a lot of food. Yeah, We watch a lot of food.
I watch a ton of food, especially on the phone.
Yeah.
I love to see people make things that I don't eat.
Yeah.
We do too. We also like to watch a lot of chefs go and taste foods in other countries and other really high-end and low-end chefs.
Okay.
Like we really like to watch people in China and Korea. Yeah. We like all
India.
The foods. India, they got so many fucking stalls out there.
So much.
Okay, I want to switch the conversation a little bit.
Let's switch it.
take me through an acid trip from start to finish.
Sure. I'm the never the same.
Okay.
But I think they usually start with... So wait, am I taking through an acid trip as someone who does acid or like a person who's never done acid?
Somebody that's never done it, like your first experience.
Okay, first experience doing acid, let's say you do the tab, which mm-hmm. is a little sheet of paper, mm-hmm. sit on your tongue, no flavor, no nothing. And if you've never done it, if you like someone who smoked weed or drunk alcohol, like you're expecting some kind of effect.
Hit?
Rather fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 30 to 45 minute process before it gets into your blood and, you know, you start to mm-hmm. feel it. So I think the first step usually if you've never done it is like, man, this shit don't work. Or like you think like, man, this shit ain't nothing. Or you think, do I need to take another one? Or like, was it bad? Is it like, was this like faulty? And then after like 45 minutes, 50 minutes of being like, man, this shit ain't working. You start like, I feel a little like, you know, you just feel a little tingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think it's like colors start to get a little bit brighter, you know, and then the walls, things start to move just a little bit. And then by about an hour in, you are blazing, you know, and at that point, you know, it's like, depends. I mean, I think that your trip is so crafted by your environment, right? So like, if you're like in the dark and you're playing music, your brain is working overtime, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like crafting images and scenarios and the music, you feel it, you live through it. You know, if you're outside, you like, you hear the birds and you feel the sun and the grass is moving, trees are dancing, and it's just like, it's super like emotional, right? Mm-hmm. And then I get, so it's like different stages. So at first, you know, it's like you know, you laugh, and then it's like you know, you really like tripping, and then but by like hour five and six,
I'm sorry, five.
Oh, it's like a seven, long, 8 hour thing. Yeah, by hour five, by six or seven, you're deep in your brain, right? Like, and you are like, for me, by hour seven, eight, I'm like, man, what did I do this year? Like, what did I do? Like, how did I? And then it always
contemplative.
Yeah, you know, it's different stages. Like, there's the stage when you like start thinking about like love, and then there's a stage for me when I start thinking about my career and like just being. It starts with like, damn, I'm so fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this is my life. I'm grateful. And then it goes to, damn, I've been slacking.
Mm-hmm.
I need to. I didn't hit whatever accomplishments I want, or what are my accomplishments?
Mm-hmm.
Because in this industry, in entertainment, you're moving so fast. Sometimes you don't even have time to think, like,
yeah,
what do I want? Mm-hmm. What I want to do if I'm always on a plane, I'm always flying around. I don't even know. It's almost like you're not even living for yourself.
Without a doubt.
You know, like I've been on tour for I toured for 9 months this year. I left in February, came back in September. And it's autopilot.
Yeah.
And I came home and I didn't even chill. Like, I've been in New York, I've been here in LA, I've been all over. And so, like, it's like autopilot. So, it's like, while you're working and doing shit, though, it's like, you don't really even think about, like, A, what you're doing, whether, like, you did something great or, like, or just, like, if you did anything for yourself.
You don't have time to process, really, what's
happening. Yeah, you're just moving. So, when you're doing acid, like, man, that is, like, you are so deep in your thought about what is going on, or about what you want, or about like where you want to go. It's just like, it's like you are present with your thoughts.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember, goodness gracious, I think it was like 2010, maybe 2015. I got a call from my brother, and he locked himself in the bathroom of his best friend's house because he was on acid. He didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Okay.
And I was like, are you okay, bro? And he's like, Raven, I hope I'm okay. I think there's sounds outside. So when I remember listening to my brother and me talking him down,
mm-hmm.
it makes me go, you really do have to take care of the environment that you're in when you're on that trip.
Hell yeah. The people, it's so important, the people you have around you.
Yeah.
You know, because it can either make it a really joyful experience or like really evil. you know.
And I would imagine the mental space you're in going into it. Because absolutely. If you are going into something and you're like, okay, I need to explore parts of my brain that I'm not accessing, that's going to be a different trip and energy than if you're going into something because you're feeling sad or depressed mm-hmm. or torn up about something. So I think that in doing any kind of drug, have you done any plant medicine?
Like ayahuasca?
No, I really want to. I really want to do ayahuasca. I've done DMT a bunch of times.
Oh, sick.
Okay, yeah. In listening to you talk about acid, it reminds me, I know a lot of people who have done plant medicine and they go on these journeys mm-hmm. and they're usually guided mm-hmm. and they're very shaman. Intentional. Yeah. And I have had a close friend who it transformed her life. She wasn't able to have relationships. She had all of this trauma, and that one plant medicine journey essentially released her. Mm. And it was like years of therapy in one night. Mm. And hearing you talk about acid, even though it's like a long trip considering it can be 8 hours. Yeah.
Good God.
But think about it. That's way different than, I love the fact that you have that. Sorry.
What's happening?
He just pulled out some bubble gum, you guys.
I love it so much. That's hilarious. Epic.
But hearing your life and your schedule, 8 hours is faster to kind of heal.
Oh, but it feels like you stuff. Don't. It's like you blink. I mean, you blink in the sun. Over. If you do it now, you blink and the sun's coming back up. Because it's so deep. It's so much. You get so lost in time.
Right.
You know, you forget that the entire world is alive. You feel like it is just you on the planet. But I only do it at home. Right. So I've never done it like at a party or like I only do acid. I've done it hundreds of times in private. So I can be fully in control of the environment.
And in your moment. When you were talking about being on tour for 9 months, traveling, planes, this, that, such a fuck yes. He doesn't do things the normal. Typical way.
I love it. That's hilarious.
And obviously that's not for sharing now. Yeah. So cute. When you talk about...
Yo, she just shaded the fuck out of you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. How does that schedule, that lifestyle, impact your father, your being a father?
And congratulations on that, by the way.
Yes.
Thank you. A lot.
Did you swallow that?
Stop I ain't doing it. No crowns with you.
No. She's still learning. What'd you swallow that for?
That's my thing. No, wait, pause. Like, that's not my thing. Like, I'm not like... I'm not like that my thing, but like,
How much gum you got in your stomach right now?
He has so much gum in his belly.
A lot.
He has so much gum.
I'm a gummer.
I am a great person to do a crime. That just shocked the fuck
out
of me.
No, babes. I love you, sweetheart, but no. No. You can't, no.
Why did you just rob that woman?
No. If I know what we're going in for, I'm right there.
Yeah, but she'll also, like, what's that over there? And go search. Like, that's in her blood. She can't help it.
I'm a really good liar. Anyway, you're a daddy. Talk Whoa. To us about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter just turned 4. Oh, and So I think it's hard. It's right. Like I said, I was on tour for 9 months. So like, a year is only 12 months. So like this entire year kind of been gone.
Yeah.
And it's tough. But like giving her the best life is like number one, right? Mm-hmm. And bills don't pay themselves.
Yeah.
So like I just try to like. This is what I told myself. I don't like talking about this stuff. But this is what I told myself. I said, okay, well, she's like, I started thinking about, like, what's my oldest memory? And, like, my oldest memory is, like, my pre-K birthday when I had a surprise WWF birthday party and I cried when I woke up from the nap. And I was like, pre-K. So I was like, I really can't remember anything before that besides, like, faintly when I, like, hit my head on the corner of a table and got these stitches in my forehead. But like, and I was like 2 years old.
Yeah,
right. But other than that, so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna work my ass off till my kid's like 5 when mm-hmm. she starts to really remember things.
Yeah.
So I can just really set shit up for like make it super Gucci so I can start falling back and spending more time.
I think that's a wonderful thought process. Yeah. I think that's also good for you because you are still young and you still deserve to enjoy the life that you set up for yourself.
Yeah.
And being that you're smarter with your money now.
Yeah. Way
smarter
now. For her,
she can have that life. And then there, you know, work hard, play hard, but there is something to, you know, grind when you're young and then relax when you're older.
Right.
And you can relax with your daughter in that point.
Mm-hmm.
He's so hungry. Do you need
feed this
food?
Man.
He's eating gum.
Do you feel like the industry allows for space for being a father?
No. That's why I never posted it. I never posted my kid. Mother, my child, be trying to post him.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be like, why you do that? Like, bro, the internet is so mean.
Mm-hmm.
So cruel. I don't care. That's why for years I never said I had a kid.
Yeah.
And people used to think I was like a deadbeat. But no, just don't. Y'all must do.
And you're also protecting that, protecting her in a way. Because
yeah, she didn't ask for that.
Exactly.
You know? And it's just like, I don't fuck with y'all.
Mm.
I'm not sure I'm off of it.
You good?
I gotta get through.
Okay.
Yep. Get through that. Get through that.
Yeah. Y'all don't deserve it. She's beautiful and she crazy. Like, y'all don't, I don't need y'all to parental advice. People always got something to say.
100%.
And people just mean. And people weird.
Hella weird. Hella weird.
No, you're smart. I think that's actually a really correct approach to protect her from that and not have to then, and also protect yourself from that. Because like you're saying, you don't need the input of other people and strangers or the headache of thinking, could my daughter now be at risk because of this? Do people know where we live? Blah, blah, blah.
I agree.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
So you named yourself after something that you would never buy.
I want a boat. I used to be, I just didn't like to get on them. But I live on a lake now. So like, I want a boat. I need
a
boat.
Swim?
I know. No, because I don't like my hair wet.
You know what?
Yeah.
Your hair wet. You ain't washed it. You know good and well you That's need to get it in that water.
Well, I'm a guy like I get my hair braided every week.
That's fair.
So like I was gonna get it braided last night, but I was in the studio, and I just didn't. I was gonna get it braided this morning, but I didn't wake up early enough. I'm on it. I usually have my nails done. I usually get my hair braided, but. Clean. I used to get facials and all that type shit, but I just been like all over the place. Yeah,
you've been busy. You know, you brought up studio, and I was watching one of your episodes in the little boat series.
Okay, my old TV, like the YouTube series.
The YouTube series. I was watching an episode with Taz, one of your producers.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was interesting. I love his theory behind how he makes songs with you.
Smart.
Very smart, but he really did push you.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I remember that with Sessions. Man, he pushed me. I don't think anyone's ever pushed me that hard. And I almost like, this is before my child. And this is before like my change,
mm-hmm.
like just shift in my life. And so that was a time period when I was really trying to figure out who the fuck I was, you know? And Taz was a guy, that was like a down period in my career. And Taz was a guy that just like, he fucked with me. And that was a up period in his career. That's when, like, Taz was, like, untouchable, man. They just had so many certified plaques. Like, they were going crazy, his whole camp, Internet Money. And, like, man, they were just, like, killing it. He was doing all these songs with Juice WRLD. And he just was, like, he was so supportive. And I haven't talked to him yet. I should reach out to him. But Taz was super sick, yeah.
He was super supportive. But then there was a comment that you made that I was like, which makes me come to this topic of you were like, Taz is gone. I'm going to do what I want. Do you feel... I've not been in the music industry like you have, but I've definitely been in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And as a female in the music industry, there are obviously standards in the ways that I have to be and perform and look and sound and all of the things in the above. And
black.
And black. And I did not do very well with those things. Very well. Me and Sean Garrett did not do very well. And so...
Oh, Sean Garrett, man.
Yeah, I have a conversation about that. As a rapper,
mm-hmm.
there are only...
And a songwriter.
And a songwriter. But I'm talking about the artist version of it, not the pen.
Okay.
As the person in front of the camera.
Sure.
what is up with the way the brand has to look?
Oh man,
what is up with that? Because if you're not a certain way, you can't be a rapper.
Well, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah,
you kind of
is it though?
It's supposed to be. Mm. You know, it's a lifestyle that you're supposed to. It's a glitz and glamour lifestyle that you're selling. You know, like it's two types of rapper. There is backpack rapper, which is J. Cole or and then there
old Kanye.
And then it's like just trap hip hop, turned up fast BPM. The other side, which is the lifestyle, which is the diamonds, which is the women, which is the cars, which is the lifestyle, Young Money, Cash Money, like just the life. You know, either or. And I think that so many kids look to rappers for a lifestyle, almost like 100%. Escaping their life, whether it's motivation, whether it's like to amplify you. Unfortunately, sometimes it's used to do negative things, whatever the case may be. But it's unfortunate, but it's just like for women and for men too, it's like, I remember when I first came into music and rap in 2016, it was so aggressive. It was so like, people didn't have color hair. It was like gangster. It was like tough.
We had the game.
Yeah, exactly. Rick Ross, that's what it looked like, In 2016, like my era, we came in as like kids and we kind of shifted everything. We had it very difficult at first. All the purists and the people who came before us was like, man, these suckers is like, this not rap. I think it's just imagery. I think it's imagery and psychosis. It's like a lot of things,
Is it hard to live up to?
I think it's so interesting for a lot of people, yes. Not me. Okay. I do what the fuck I want. And I also look at it as performative, but a lot of people don't, people will see Denzel like drive an Uber and shoot someone, like, oh man, that was a great acting movie. But then they'll be like, oh wait, you just rapped about this. Why aren't you doing this? And it's like, and me, it's like, it's entertainment. It's songwriting. It's like, it's music, but a lot of, I'm so touchy. People don't see it as that, but like, I don't know, man. It's so interesting. But again, I think it's psychosis when people like, a lot of times people listen to hip hop music and they're like, oh, well, you rapped about this, so you should be doing this. And in my opinion, it's like, man, what if I just want to write a song for the person that does do that? What if I wanted to write a song for this person or for that person, because I know what it feels like. I'm a great songwriter.
Yeah.
But people like to think you should be as true to the lyrics as possible. While I don't disagree, I think you could, but I don't think you have to.
Well, that's where people have become so obsessed now with authenticity. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm authentically going to authentically express my authenticity. Well, I'm authentically, it's just this like overwhelming amount of expectation on public figures to live in their truth, be their truth. And I think that what happens and what is forgotten is that people, artists, are channelers. They are meant to be the people that can bring in and bring forth many different experiences so they can connect to the masses. And the masses are a group of people that all have different and individual experiences and backgrounds and blah, blah, blah. So the artist is the beacon of everyone, is the reflection. And I think that like our culture has just forgotten that and now is expecting this truth teller. And
however, but with rap, the way it started, it was the voice of the people that didn't get heard. So I think people are remembering how rap started and is still trying to make it that when it's no longer that.
Well, also you just got to understand that artists aren't what they used to be. I think there was a point in time when every artist had their platform to speak about their life and what they were going through, and it was very different. It was different sounds, and it was different. Oh, you're from the north, you're from the east, I'm from the south, so our music is different because we have different experiences. Nowadays with the internet, it's all kind of blended and everyone's kind of talking about the exact same thing, so then you kind of lose that truth to personality. And also, like, again, life is just a lot easier than it used to be for Black people. I'm not saying that it's like great, but I'm saying, like,
it's a lot easier.
With the kids nowadays, like, it's like life isn't, we didn't have to go through what, a lot of us didn't have to go through what people before us, you know, had to deal with.
You guys don't know what segregation is.
Right, you know, so, and like, and then, and a lot of kids' parents don't. So, therefore, you just, you have a lot more leniency in your life and in the way you grew up. And so, and then you have the internet where everyone's connected. So everyone kind of grows up the same because you're not outside no more. You're not living in your town or what y'all do. Right. And so it's like everything kind of just becomes one.
But I think the difference between you and I'm actually going to put the creator out there, and even Pharrell started it, I believe, in a really cool way. But art being the forefront of the song, art being the forefront of the lyrics and what it means. I mean, Pharrell is a wonderful example of that, one who came and started talking about, you know, skateboarding. I mean, no, black people weren't skateboarding.
And he was in Virginia.
You were in Virginia, bro. And now you're over here singing You're Happy. Mm-hmm. You can see the but I mean, you can see the trajectory of what hip hop is. Mm-hmm. And I say that to say, you know, I had a hip hop album once and, well, twice. And I always felt uncomfortable because I knew I didn't live the lifestyle, but I knew that I could flow at the same time because of the time period that I grew up in. And I want, again, for people like you and the creator and Pharrell to come and be like, hey, this is art at the end of the day, like you're saying. This is just music. Yeah. I don't have to be this way in order to sing.
Interesting. I wonder how, because you're an actor, so I wonder how you can comfortably act and like you like could play a part that's not you, but when it comes to music, you feel a lot more like uncomfortable.
I'll say this. I personally didn't feel uncomfortable doing it. I felt uncomfortable putting it out in the world because of the expectations of what a rapper is supposed to be. Right. I'm not going to sit there, and I love all my girls, but I'm not going to sit there in a bikini humping a girl on stage. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to dress up like I'm butch and I'm studish, but I'm not going to, you know, do that.
Fair.
And I felt like,
what about someone like Brat though?
But Brat is the first female rapper to get a Grammy, like, and she's from Chicago, like that's her lifestyle. I'm
so
Olivia.
You just felt imposter syndrome.
No, I didn't feel imposter syndrome. I knew that the world of hip hop would feel that way,
and that's true. That's very true.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a secret
there's
judging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an expectation to your lyricism.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're talking about, and people, like, let's say, like, if I can't go out today and say, I'm the biggest gangster in the world, pussy, people are going to test that.
Yes, they are.
If I'm grocery shopping, I'm getting gas, what's up with that, gangster? Mm-hmm. Especially if I got something that they can't afford, and I'm walking around like, I'm the biggest gangster. Someone want to see if that's true.
But so in saying something like that, then you're kind of putting a target on your back, or you're asking for...
I don't want to call it a target, but you do have people that, like...
Test you.
Want to it's just like, it sounds like...
It's fans or, like other
who
rappers?
If someone is gangster, and I'm saying I'm gangster, they want to see it. It's
how
the same as if I was like, oh, I'm the best chess player. Then the best chess player, let me see it.
But I think there's a difference. If a pop singer was like, I'm a country star, they're not going to test. Mm-hmm. They're not going to test that. They're just like,
but
oh, thanks for the album.
It's different, though. It's different.
And it's unfair.
Know? Well, I think it's just like, I think that they just, they don't, I think the environments that we grow up in is just like, it's...
Because the word gangster is now a part of normal vocabulary.
That's true.
It's not the same as it used
to
be.
No,
you know what I mean? You could see a white boy on the side of the street straight from Notre Dame be like, that's gangster. It's like, what are you talking
about? Well, what you guys are just talking about makes me think of like the animal kingdom. It's like there's a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So there's a system. And so where a pop star could be like, I'm turning country now. It's like, okay, that's soft.
Yeah.
Essentially soft.
Yeah.
Rap and... the hood and culture in that way was a system that was built on strength and power. And if
Absolutely.
You were a real gangster, you were a gangster because you had something to prove that you were worthy of that title, which
also,
meant you could fight, you could protect.
Also, black people are just protective over something that's ours, as you should be, right? And so when you have an artist come in and come in and make money off rap and then turn country or pop or switch up, it's kind of a offensive, you know? Yeah. Also, I understand this is like, I feel like people don't get much, you know? So, like, this is something that's ours, hip-hop, rap. This is, like, something that, you know, black people in all communities can share and relate to and feel seen and heard. So, like,
yeah.
Again, like, when someone comes in and, like, makes money and a living off it and switches, it's offensive sometimes, you know?
It could be offensive, and not a lot of people are allowed to come in. I mean, there's...
Right, so if you accept it...
If you accepted Eminem and Jack Harlow,
I was just going to ask you your thoughts on Eminem.
Well, nobody talks about Eminem. He's a GOAT. Yeah. We can talk about Jack Harlow, though. Eminem is a GOAT. Don't touch him.
Eminem actually dissed me.
Oh, really?
But I thought it was amazing.
In a good way.
Well, no, if you say my name, it's like, you could have said anyone's name. So you say my name, I'm like,
that's fire.
That's kind of fire.
Yeah.
Is Eminem dissing you?
I was like, man, you could have you could have said anybody. You said me. That must mean I'm like, am I the top of the nobodies?
Did he give you a 16?
There you go.
No. It was just like, I understand why people listen to Lil Yachty, but it's not for me, though.
Oh, that's not bad, though. That's not too bad.
Yeah. I wasn't mad at it at all. I was like, fire.
Like, Eminem broke down boundaries.
Yeah.
And if you get dissed by Eminem,
that's
well done.
That's take it.
Yeah, a top-tier diss.
I'll fucking take it. Yes. Any day of the week, I'll take it.
Without a doubt.
Eminem is saying your name.
Yeah.
I'm an Eminem. My name is Miranda Mayday.
Oh, Eminem. I'm an Eminem, too. I'm Miles McCollum.
Oh, my God. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I'm an Eminem, too. And I got two Maybachs, two Eminems.
Ooh, I don't, but I have two dogs named Moose and Marlo.
They're not your dogs.
I know, but we had to think. I had to go there because I didn't have to. I had to think of another M that I had.
It's okay.
I want a Mercedes.
We're from Atlanta. Goody Mob, Outkast.
Yeah, Dungeon Family.
You worked as your dad.
My father.
Your father worked as a photographer for Goody Mob or Outkast.
Both.
First
of
all, Goody Mob.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you guys, for those who don't know, which is probably a lot of y'all because you're young, they're fire. Go check it out. And then Outkast, obviously.
Yeah,
Outkast,
just history. They just got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hell yeah.
2 days
again,
ago.
A switch. Yeah. But it was artistry that did it. Who are you listening to that people would be surprised that you're listening to?
Everyone. I mean, I'm listening to,
Taylor Swift?
Okay, not Taylor Swift.
No one's listening to Taylor.
But I listen to Lana Del Rey.
But she's good for what's in that cup, though.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And her music is just so, like...
Her voice.
It's crazy.
Ethereal.
You know? I listen to so much. I like the Marías. I mean, my favorite band is Coldplay.
Hell yeah.
I love jazz music. Nala Sanfro, Bon Iver. I mean, I could...
I love it.
I could go on and on. Alternative music and just so much that I appreciate soul music. I love. I just love music in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the pen's so
I don't listen to
country.
I was gonna say Taylor Swift, but like
that's fine. You said everything, and I'm
but,
just
but
saying
I don't,
how far
but
that
I don't
everything
not,
goes.
I don't not listen to her because like I don't fuck with her. I just like I haven't been introduced to her.
That's fine.
So I don't, you know.
I don't listen to her either.
Yeah.
So it's not a thing where I was like trying to.
Yeah,
get you to plug her.
No. Shout out Taylor Swift. She dumb rich. She ain't gonna fuck about me.
She is so rich.
She drive a jet to go to the gas station.
She could have all the chains and
I
all the 16
do it personally.
Carats.
I really can't.
You know what Taylor
that,
Swift has?
Oh, other music. It's not for you.
I can't.
I don't even know it.
You know what Taylor Swift has never done that you're going to do?
What?
Go into that teapot and pull out a topic.
Yeah, Taylor, so.
Yeah, Taylor, you've never done this.
Never even got into this.
We don't, like, maybe even want her to do this.
Yeah,
so, like,
well,
whatever.
I mean, if she
I mean, yeah,
she
okay.
You guys stop talking.
Yeah.
We'll take
care of
you. Okay, yeah, Taylor,
I was going to say, we definitely have her, though.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, my bad. Right,
so.
Go into that pot and pull something out. There's going to be a single topic. You'll hold it.
There's only one thing in here.
There's so many.
There's so many.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's so many up in here.
There's so many topics. You're going to pick a random
one. Let me pick a random one.
Today on Titam, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Style. Woo! I love it.
I could have picked anything, but I picked this.
Because you got it.
I have it.
Where's like this shirt from?
So I got this shirt from a vintage store.
It's okay. You don't have to do all that.
Europe. Yeah. I don't know. And then this is ERL. And then this is clearly an
Iverson's coming back.
These pants are Chrome Heart. This belt is Prada.
Ooh, I like that belt.
Yeah, these are Louis Vuitton Tims that they are kind of beat up now, but they were Louis Vuitton.
They're cute. Yeah. I just got a shirt that looks exactly like that, and I was thinking about wearing it today. We would have been twins. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I love stripes so much.
Stripes are the best.
Stripes are awesome.
Yeah. They are.
Why do y'all plan to match? Like, do y'all go?
Depends.
Like today?
Today, these are new shirts that we got from the mall.
Okay.
And I'm very excited about it.
We
went to the mall.
Cool.
And found this new store.
We haven't been to the mall in a while.
Found this new store, and it was Hebrew based. Cool. But it was still like, says point of view in the front. Says point of view in the front. Hers has a lot of different words.
Yeah.
But,
I couldn't read any of the things.
You know what it says. But we have a different style.
Sure.
We have very different style.
Oh, than each other?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm finding the more that we stay together, the more it blends.
Yeah, I mean, I always see things on Instagram about, like, the more you, like, you and your person, you kind of become one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw a study that said, like, the more you love someone, the sleepier you get.
I saw that, too.
I'm always tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. And I also saw, tons of things, but also saw, like, girls, like, period sync up. The more they
stick
together.
True.
Yeah. Like, tons of things. I don't know. I think love is so special, you know? Like, and, like, the, like just the way that... Because energy is so powerful. So, like, when you intertwine with someone and you start to intertwine energy with someone, you just kind of...
You start to raise elevations. I find that when my wife and I got married, new thoughts came into my brain, new wants came into my brain. We would sit and meditate together at the very beginning of our relationship, and we created the world that we wanted to live. And so even, like, it took a minute, but even now, those things that we wished for before we said I do are coming to light.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you have the right person in your corner and then you make those goals, you can reach them.
Right.
And it's the exact opposite. For when you don't. And I think that is another, I'm going to just bring it back to style. There's different ways, different styles of dating.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you about that. Like, what is your love style?
So I'm 28 years old, and I got famous at 18, 6 months after I graduated high school. I lived in the same house my entire life. I'm just kind of going give some background to this. Same house my entire life, same school, everyone grew up together. Then, you know, one day you're just a celebrity. You know, you're famous and you're a millionaire and everything changes.
Crazy. Yeah.
Straight out of high school. And so, like, I had to grow up in front of the world. I basically became a man in front of the world. I, like, basically started dating for real with, like, some of the finest women of all time. And I'm, like, have no dating experience.
Mm.
I also started to, I got access to a plethora of women all over the world.
Of
course. So monogamy became, like, a backseat idea for me for a long time until I got older. I actually was just talking about this, and I started to experience, like, man, I started to realize that I don't have any experiences with one person. Mm-hmm. It's scattered with women from all over the world. And I can't remember who for which date. So now it's like, damn, I want one person to, like, I want to start building experiences with someone and remembering them with that person. So love started to become a very, well, I always had love, but, like, monogamous love and finding my person, which is not easy at all. But it's a serious interest for me. And I think the hard part is, like, it's so many things. I mean, you have your preference of what you like. You know, physically, I'm very open. It's more so, like, the type of person you are. I'm kind of, like, hypersensitive when it comes to love. I'm very emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
So dating someone who isn't is really hard, and I find that a lot of women aren't. A lot of women, like, a lot of people just, like, are kind of like very shelled, and I understand in this relationship and in this climate, but it's hard when you're trying to, like, date and you're trying to grow with someone, and they just kind of, you can feel that they're not letting you in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they fuck with you, but, like, there's a wall between the emotions. And that is, like, really frustrating, and I deal with that a lot.
Yeah, that's a really hard one to overcome, and I think that we've definitely experienced that. Raven and I are both also very emotionally intelligent people.
Wait. Did you just call me emotionally intelligent?
Yeah.
Thank you, babe.
I'm more emotionally intelligent.
There it is.
But you are also very I was just making emotionally sure. intelligent.
Okay, got it.
No, but that was something that really, I think, bonded us, was that it wasn't just about a physical. It was really this greater connection that was happening, the conversations that we could have, and then the willingness to do the work. I think that's the thing that you have to remember, is that you're going to meet people. We all have our traumas. We all have our guards. We all have these ingrained defense mechanisms, these patterns, this subconscious that's at work. What you want to make sure you have in a partner is a person who, when they become triggered by your behaviors, when you're mirroring shit to them, they're willing to lean in and do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my thing, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Something I deal with is, it's unfortunate, but when you're famous, let's say a rapper. Well, famous, but more so famous and a rapper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are these stereotypes that are put on you, mm-hmm. and this, like, expectation of how you are and your lifestyle, which then makes, like, it's really annoying that mm-hmm. I have to deal with women, because they assume that I live a life of, like, club every night, 15 bitches every Monday through Sunday, and, like, balling on the budget, tricking, like, just, like, fuck life, get money, fuck bitches.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I ain't gonna lie to you. That's a life that I lived at, like, 18 through, like, 22. I'm 28 now. And I've exhausted the idea of that. And, like, it's frustrating, like, having to, like, prove to someone, like, I'm interested in you. And I care. But also, I find with my brain that it's hard for me to find someone that, like, I'm like, oh, I want to stick in this.
Because mm-hmm.
there's always something that I'm like, you know?
That's probably going to be part of your work, though, to also have to, like, face that feeling of wanting to get out and understand if it's for a real reason or if it's because of one of your defense mechanisms or it's your pattern, to kind of be like, this feels hard, boring, whatever.
Yeah.
Now I want to just...
I have this thing where I hate the idea of settling. I feel like a lot of people settle for their partner. A lot of people settle for love. Like, whether it's like I'm getting to a certain age and I don't want to be alone, or it's like I need to have it quickly, or like whatever. I feel like a lot of people settle, and I feel like that's so, like, sad that people settle. And a lot of women will settle just for, like, someone with money. Settle, like, oh, I got
for 16 carats. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
As someone who, I've been famous since I was 3 years old, and the way you described your life and the way my life went, I just want you to know that it's the same as someone who's not famous. That time period where you fuck money, get bitches, that's when you're supposed to have fun.
Right.
Yours was just on the
bigger scale.
Bigger scale. Mm-hmm. You are at the age where you're going to be thinking about this. So I don't know if you're worried about it, but you're right on time.
Yeah.
As just a human. Take away the celebrity. Take away the fame. As a human, you're right on time. You're 28.
Yeah.
You got a daughter. Things are starting to, like, the veils are lifting, right? On top of that, I think that when you are a celebrity, there is a type of connection to the world thought process mm-hmm. that we have more than people that are not influenced by the entire world,
mm-hmm.
where you think differently
right.
and on a higher vibrational level, because you know that you're higher up and you can fall harder.
Yeah.
Finding someone to have that conversation with, but you want to stay with, the word settle is old.
Yeah.
What it is foundational building.
Yeah.
So settling to me is at the beginning of a house. Did they dig deep enough
mm-hmm.
so I can sit and grow?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you got, the foundation has to settle.
Yeah.
That's where that word should come into. And I feel like, I'm not a rapper, I'm not in your world, because this is a different age bracket and a different time period. But when you search for someone, stay away from easy fruit. You just got to stay away from the ones that are always going to be in front of you. They're not the one. They're being called to you because of your celebrity, not because of who you were before you turned 18.
Right.
You got to go, like, when I was dating, when I was younger, I never dated an actor. I was always actually dating in the music industry.
Mm.
I would suggest as your lesbian auntie, leave the music industry and the ladies that are attached to it.
Yeah.
Like, go find someone that understands what it's like to have to leave on the drop of a dime because you got to work, and then find a girl that's working as much so that you can again feel the chase that you need to feel as a man.
Right.
And not chase just because she's like, no, but chase because she got a job and she's putting that job first too.
So funny. Actually, my thing is actually... normal people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the word normal, but like we're all normal.
Non-celebrities.
But like, just like people who do not have a clue of understanding to the lifestyle, you know? For several reasons, I think it's awesome, like, showing someone, like, a life that they never seen. Like, it's fun. And it's just, like, the expectation level is different. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Do you guys believe in love at first sight?
I do believe that that show is not the best, but in real life, I feel like, I think yes, I think it's possible, but I don't know if it's love. I think it's lust, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you don't believe in love at first sight.
I mean, it depends on how lustful you want to get with them.
It also, I think, depends on your definition of love. Okay, not
like
to...
high school sweetheart type thing.
Yes, I was with my high school sweetheart for 7 years.
So you don't think it's hard to, like, okay, so let's say you with the high school sweetheart, get married. Let's say 10 years, 15 years. I'm thinking long term here. Don't you think there becomes a term when you start to wonder what's out there because you never experienced it?
Yes.
Yes. You're just and the that's first what divorce person is you, for.
Right. So then is first love really a thing? Because I feel like at some point the clock ticks where you start to wonder, damn, I've had sex with one person for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the lady at the gym feel like, or I wonder what, like, because, like, desires is so natural and human, and in this world is so much of it in your face all the time, in the internet, at the supermarket, at the mall, and when you scroll, like, is it a real thing?
We just met someone who married their high school sweetheart, JS, and they were telling me and us that they went to their wife and said, I'm going to live my life to the fullest, even though we've been together since babies. But no, I'm always going to come back home.
What does that mean?
That means I'm going to fuck
gonna
other bitches, even though we're married, but know that I will never mess up our relationship.
And what did she say?
Yes.
She said okay.
She said okay because the communication was there. Mm. I think that there's love at first sight, and I think that people can have up to 20 loves in a lifetime.
Yeah.
I was going to say that I think that it is so... based on personality and what actually works for you in a relationship. Because what you're explaining, that would probably never work for me. I don't
high
think...
school, sweetheart.
Yeah, because I can't... I don't think that I would be able to sit with the idea of I've never experienced another person. And I just don't know. And I think we learn through contrast, which means you have to go out and try a few things. Mm-hmm. I didn't date a ton, but I, you know, I had my experiences. I slept with people. I understood what I liked, what I didn't like. I dated men. I dated women. And what I found with Raven and why I kind of paused with the love is first sight question is because when I first saw Raven, it wasn't seeing Raven Simone. It was this like, whoa, I'm going to know this person. It was an overwhelming sense of just knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, as we then actually got to know each other, that feeling only grew for me. Mm-hmm. It was so strong. And as a person who has questioned almost everything, has felt so much insecurity about things, with Raven, it was just matter of fact.
So then let me ask you guys this question. If Raven was the first person you met in 12th grade, do you think... that with the relationship y'all have now, if y'all met in 12th grade and y'all were together, do you think you would have ever, and you've never had any of those other experiences,
right?
Do you think that naturally you would have wanted to dibble and dabble? Do you think maybe the fights that y'all had wouldn't have been as strong because you start to be like, oh man, I'm sitting here fighting with you and I could, you know, like as to where like you fought with other people so you know like this fight is worth the fight versus if you never had any other things, do you think if you guys met in high school that either you guys would still be here today, or do you think like no, you probably would have like broke up and seen some other people, maybe came back, or like what do you think?
I think that would have been our path. I think, well, that actually like was our path. We got together, dated, broke up, got back together. So I think if we had met in high school, we probably would have been good friends, because Raven would have not been out at that time, and she would have been
I wasn't out, but I was doing shit.
I know, but you, I don't know, and I wasn't doing stuff in 12th grade with girls, so I would have, I would have probably been good friends with you, and we would have then maybe
yeah,
had
I don't
a,
know. I would have played truth or dare maybe with your ass a couple
exactly.
of times.
We would have played truth or dare, right. both started to question shit.
Right.
But you know what? Here's what I will say. If I had the knowing that hit me when we first met at that bar mm-hmm. in 12th grade, I wouldn't have had questions. So if
you think so, even though no experiences with no one else.
I agree.
Tag in.
I'd like to tag in, please.
Okay.
At the age of 13, I met someone, mm-hmm. and I had that feeling.
Which one?
I know I'm going to know this person, and I want this person in my life. At 13.
Okay.
And we dated.
But I'm saying like.
Forever.
No, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Hold on.
Not
me,
know this person, but like be with.
No, this is what I'm saying. At that age, mm-hmm. I saw this person on the stage and I said, I am going to be with this person. Mm-hmm. I lied to my parents about it. I kept them secret. It was a whole journey. I'm writing a book about it. Here's the deal. Got together, lived with them, went through so many fights. I keep bringing this story up. He had a baby by another girl. Mm-hmm. I did everything to be with this one person because that's what I thought I wanted to be with. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to be with him so much that even when I was thinking about I really want to be underneath a girl, I would tell him, you know, when we get married, I'm going to need a girlfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was that person to him. Like right. He knew that. And I say that because being from my experience mm-hmm. at that young of an age and being with that person mm-hmm. from 13 to 21,
mm-hmm.
I truly believe that you can have a love at any time mm-hmm. and everything happens in a season.
Yeah.
And you can't hold on to winter when everything's melting
sure.
and going into summer. You have to let it go or you're going to follow yourself all the way through and just wait for winter every single year.
Right.
You have to grow up. And just like speaking, you know, in Miranda moments, you talked about evolution and mm-hmm. reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
We had this conversation. It's not reinvention. It's just growing up.
Right.
You're growing into your skin. Yeah. Life gives you experiences. So if you're talking about someone that you met at, not you, but if somebody falls in love at 12 at that year, 12th yes, grade. 12th right. grade, you mm-hmm. can have that love.
But so then let me ask you a question. Is it still considered real love even if you take breaks and move on
yes.
and go away and come back?
Yeah, I still have love for my exes.
And also... Yeah. Have you ever heard of the saying, if you really love me, you'll set me free or you'll let me go?
When did you hear
no,
that?
No, I haven't.
When did you hear that since? When did you hear that?
That is a very well-known saying.
The reason and I'm saying is because I said that to her when we broke up and she swears
well,
I didn't say that shit.
Well, it feels extremely fucked up to receive.
I literally said that.
First of
and
all.
And look where you at now.
You know what okay. she said?
Look
when,
where you at
actually,
now.
Actually, when she broke up with me, Lobo, what she did was hug me. And she hugged me real tight.
I did?
And then pushed me back and said, that's how you deserve to be hugged by somebody every single day.
I also
and
said,
I was like,
I love you, so I'm gonna let you go.
Whatever.
Anyway,
you
are
loved
you
yourself
about
more.
Us?
But no, but that's actually, I think, true. That's there is that saying that if you really love something, you'll let it go because you're letting the thing go so it can
like
discover
we're so,
what
we're
it
moving
needs.
Away from topic. So do you guys believe in love at first sight or no?
I believe in love at first sight.
Yes.
And I believe in love
now
at first
Now you do?
Sight. I've always believed in love
she
at first sight.
She said she believed in love. She changed it.
She did she, say lust.
No, yeah. I didn't. You I said I believe in love at first sight, but I think it might be lust that people sure. are confusing
well,
it
I
with.
Well, I think it's lust solely because you don't know the person. You're
yeah.
just seeing them. Even like you're, it's lust because of their physical appearance and or maybe their charismatic way, but you don't know that person to love them.
Energy-wise?
You know? Right. But the energy, is that not a lustful energy? Because it's usually based off physical appearances first. Yeah. You will have some kind of attraction to this physique, to this face, to this smile, to this smell,
okay.
the jokes they're telling.
Lust at first yeah. sight can grow into love.
Absolutely.
And okay. you Absolutely. Know what one relationship theory is that we are all actually in relationship with ourselves because we project onto people
mm-hmm.
and then all we do as we have relationship with people is we're
just
engaging with mirrors
that, but that is true
yes oh, and yeah. so we're dealing yeah. with mirrors of ourselves because I can think I really know you mm-hmm. but the truth of the matter is I don't and you can think that you know me but you don't there's mm-hmm. so much more to both of us and we're
You're
having
connecting the parts of yourselves that remind you of yourself.
Exactly so I'm projecting something
that
onto you
sense.
So if that is true then yes I would say I believe in love at first sight because essentially what that person would be saying is that their projection onto the person that they're claiming they had love at first sight with
right.
is so strong and clear to them. That person triggered such a visceral thing in them and created such emotion because of their own experience right. that they could say, I loved that person. But to really love someone, I think, is also to know someone
and experience someone, life with someone.
And growth and develop, and you go through the hard shit, you go through the good shit. And if you don't have that, then I don't know. And again, that's why I said it depends on your definition of love.
You know what I really love about this is that we're talking about style. This is great. Should we change the topic?
I love this because
we left style.
We individuals and we went and we don't follow the path. So you pulled out.
I don't know how we got to this.
I said, what's your style of love?
Okay. Should we go back to that?
No. This was so perfect. I mean, here's the thing, because we're going to wrap up.
I do want to know your favorite designer.
Okay. My favorite designer is Daniel
Day Lewis. Just kidding.
Wow.
Lee. He's at Burberry right now, mm-hmm. and he came from Bottega. But right now, my favorite stylist is Willie Chaviera. He is so freaking awesome right now. I hope I'm not butchering his last name, but his brand Willie Chaviera is just like, it's so like Spanish and like Latin, and it's so true to the culture. And I just think that, man, he is really sick. But I really like Daniel Lee at Burberry, and I loved what he did at Bottega. Yeah.
If you could describe your style in 3 words.
Colorful, oversized, and I guess vintage.
Babes, your style in 3 words.
Oversized, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oversized, chic, clean.
What does chic mean?
I ask that question every day. Every day.
What? Chic, by actual definition, Laura, read us the definition of chic. Okay. Quick,
because it's different. It's different. There's an LA chic, there's a New York chic. Okay. But I want you know what I mean?
Chic means elegantly and stylishly fashionable.
Yeah, there is no, it's whatever it is.
Pretty chic too, yeah.
Yeah. I use chic when I'm just like, you look clean. You look confident, clean. Yeah. It's chic to me is usually a little bit more simple. It's kind of those like timeless pieces, mm-hmm. like your jewelry. Mm-hmm. Not all of it is actually chic, but I would say your diamond, that ring is chic.
Sure.
You know?
Also sophisticated quality, which can apply to personal appearance, manner, or even a physical space.
Yeah, your teeth to me, chic.
Okay.
So that's what I would say.
So am I chic, babe?
You are chic at times, for sure. But I think that you give, on a day-to-day, you're more like hype beast.
Me too. I'm not, so chic is like you know, like red carpet, you know, like Sex in the City.
Exactly.
Vogue. Yeah.
Like, if you had right now on just like a like this shirt, and then you just had like a black boot on, and your jewelry, I would be like, "Oh, you're chic as fuck right now." I get it.
I like colors too much for that. I got a camo shirt over a striped shirt.
This is more interesting.
But that's fire, though.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, but it works.
Anybody want to know my 3 words?
Yes, baby.
No, it's okay.
No, I was gonna ask
you. I don't know if you care.
I absolutely do.
Okay, cool. I like.
No, your 3 words.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
I like.
She likes fish filet.
K-pop style.
Okay.
Boy band K-pop style.
I don't know what that
shit is. Fire.
Okay.
Hype beast, for sure, even though that's 2 words. I'm going to put that in, too.
It's hyphenated. It's fine.
It's hyphenated.
Yeah.
And comfy.
Okay.
I'm so over being the girl stuffed into a sausage with 16-inch heels on, having to push the titties up. Like, I'm so over that shit. Mm-hmm. So it has to be comfortable. And K-pop style.
There you go.
I'm curious. What's your guys? And I know we got. You said we got to wrap. I really don't want to leave. What's your guys' favorite movie? I always ask a girl that I'm like on a date with, because it says so much about a person.
That's a great question.
It is.
Favorite book, favorite movie, favorite album. Those are.
Now I'm just gonna warn you now. My wife's gonna give you 5, because when you say favorite, that means 5 things.
You can start.
That also says a lot about a person when they can't pick, like when they can't pick a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it also says a lot.
I'm not indecisive, but what happens is my brain fires my brain too hardcore, because then I'm like, okay, favorite at what point in my life and how it impacted me, or what I just want to watch on repeat, or like what actually transformed my perspective, or what made me want to do sure. this thing. So then I'm like all fucking in my head, and it's just a lot. And then
I'll
I'm
go
like,
first. I'll just answer Thanks, that baby. Question. You want me to answer that yeah. for the both of us?
Yeah, well, sure. I'm curious.
So my favorite movie, if I could only watch one movie for the rest of my life, favorite. It would be Shawshank Redemption. Wow. It's funny. It's emotional. I follow it every time. I was conflicted with two others, but I chose that one. And I'm not going to name the two others because he asked for one.
God. Okay. You guys, it's so hard. I'm going to say Toy Story.
The first Good one? Job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. yeah. Definitely.
What about you?
Interstellar.
I just saw that the other day.
Yeah,
I was gonna say The Matrix.
Yeah, so can we go?
I was gonna say so many other things.
I wanna know why though. Why Shawshank? Oh, you kind of say you
Shawshank Redemption. Let me tell you why. I think I like it. I need the different genres. So comedy, drama, mm-hmm. that the acting is superb, mm-hmm. and yeah. the way that it was filmed has such a warm, grainy texture that mm-hmm. it's easy to watch. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
The simplicity of Robin's face. And what he went through, and the sly kind of spyness of having to sneak the concrete out and do the letters. It's just, I think it's crafted really well.
That's exactly how I feel about Buzz Lightyear.
That's crazy.
Really, you know?
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. You know that part where the movie opens and it's like, you got a friend in Absolutely. Me. The little isolated girl who had no friends was like, I have a friend.
Yeah. Interstellar. Why?
Interstellar is such a complex movie, and it's so future forward to the idea of if we don't save our planet, what'll happen. Also, the idea of the technology in the movie, it's really awesome to think that could be a thing for living on a planet like such, or coming to a point of, I really love the idea of, like, so many things. I love how the professor, Dr. Brand, had to lie to, you know.
Because he knew the way humans are.
Yeah. That and he also felt like there was, if he told him, he wouldn't have left. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there was no saving. He thought there was no saving the country and the planet. And it's so the emotion, the score
score was crazy. Zimmerman, right?
Yeah, Zimmerman, Christopher Nolan, just the direction and the feelings on Matthew McConaughey's just face, like when you know he had to leave his daughter, and when he was crying, and the feeling at the end when it's like going through the
Tesseract.
Yeah, through the black hole, and just like trying to, like, you know, trying to make the message for himself to stay, and it's really emotional, and it's like just a real show of like selfless act, like, you know, for the planet, you know.
Do you read?
I actually don't.
There's a book that I want you to listen to called The Celestine Prophecy.
Mm-hmm. The Celestine Prophecy.
If you don't He's do gonna love it. If you don't do anything listen from to us it on today,
tape. Okay.
Listen to that.
The Celestine Prophecy.
The Celestine Prophecy.
Prophecy, okay.
I'm not a Christian. I'm a believer in the universe. Uh-huh. And some of that book has informed my switchover.
Okay.
I'm not trying to switch you over from anything that you believe sure. in, but if you love Interstellar, if you love Inception, if you love the fact that humans have the ability to change with science, It starts internal first.
Or I was gonna say humans just change in general, because in Toy Story when Sid is being like this badass little kid, and then it gets, you know what I mean? So you guys, let's toast. You guys had the best, most like insightful, deep movies, and I'm over here like, but Toy Story could actually be deep.
Toy Story is deep.
Toy Story is deep.
Yeah,
it's deep as shit. Today on the podcast, we are toasting to Josh.
Pesce. What up, Josh Pesce?
She really wanted to say that last name. A 17-year-old from Australia was visiting a local gas station when he noticed a wad of money sitting on a sidewalk.
Mine.
The honest young man picked it up and instantly handed over $3,500 he found to the gas station.
Get it?
The money had fallen out of the pocket of a local tradesman, Daniel McKellar, who runs a demolition firm. Mm-hmm. Not long after leaving, the tradesman called the shop on a whim, asking if the money had been found, and received startling news. A young man handed it in rather than taking it for himself.
Not me.
To show his appreciation, McKellar offered Josh $1,000 for his honesty, then took the other $2,500 that he had left over and donated it to another GoFundMe to help fund brain surgery for an advanced cancer patient, saying he wanted to pay it forward.
Wait, wow. Is that true?
Yeah. And Josh, that's why we're toasting to this person.
Josh, I'm really proud of you for turning in that $3,500. That's really amazing. I'm sad that you only got $1,000 for finding it.
Yeah, and then he gave the other. You know, I just saw today a guy bought a storage unit that's $7.5 million in it.
Cash?
Yeah, in cash. And he paid $200 for it. And he called the previous owner and told him. And the dialogue was about, but they didn't say if he gave it to him or not.
Look, this is what I found.
He just let him know. Yeah,
but the guy, I think it said the guy was offering him $1 million for it all back. And the question was like, would you take the $1 million and give him $7 million, or you just pay for the storage? Do you keep it? Now, obviously, I keep it.
Me too.
I would have kept the $3,500.
Period.
Me too.
Period.
I think that some things happen in life for a reason.
Yeah.
And if it's placed in front of you, it's for a reason.
It is for a reason, especially if there's zeros behind that joint. I want it. And that's obviously what Storage Wars is about. Once I pay for it,
literally.
It's mine.
Literally. That's the period. That is a blessing.
To the M&M sitting across from me.
And me.
And the M&M that always wakes up next to
Peanut
me.
Peanut or?
Peanut.
Always.
Nuts.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, yo. We just want to say thank you so much for coming on Tea Time. Did you have fun with us?
I had a great time.
You're awesome.
Do it again sometime.
Oh, we hope you do. Yeah.
Let's go diamond shopping together.
Anyway, we're moving on. Thank you so much for watching YouTube. What? Thank you so much for watching the podcast. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to like, subscribe.
Thank people for watching YouTube. Thank people for watching Tea Time.
Thanks for watching Tea Time on YouTube or wherever you listen to this with your podcasts. We got Yachty in the building. Yo, you got albums on albums on albums.
I got albums on albums on albums. I got breathing tutorials, and I got and I'm out here showing people how to give proper handshakes. I'm teaching elevator speeches, you know, how to quickly get your message out in under 30 seconds.
I need that.
Or more. I'm out here showing folks that, you know, cutting coupons is still alive.
We out here trying
from his Rolls Royce.
Yeah, you know, we out here trying to, you know, save energy.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Don't forget to check out all of the albums on albums and all of the videos. We love you guys. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye. See you next week.